everyone. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Change Starts Here. Today, we are joined by special guest Amy Dittmar. Amy is an assistant superintendent from Ankeny Public Schools in Ankeny, Iowa.
Amy, we are so glad that you are joining us today. Let's get right on this. So in our last episode, we talked about a concern that we think is very much on the mind of educators, the future readiness of students. Can you talk about whether this is, as an assistant superintendent, on your mind? And if it is, how the students in your district are impacted by this?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me today. Because yes, future ready is always on our mind, especially as educators. It is our job, and we take that job very seriously, to make sure that we prepare kids for life after high school. And we know that every child has a different path. And so it's critical that we think about the whole child. So we make sure we have academic programming, we have safe and welcoming environments, we have opportunities for activities, really just everything a kid might experience through their school career. That is going to set them up for success after they leave our schools. So it is something we take seriously. It's something we talk about all the time. And it's part of our strategic plan as a district. We're constantly talking about ways to improve programming and experiences for our students. And so, yes, it's something that, you know, we really, again, take seriously and are intentional about our planning so that our kids are successful.
Amy, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about, you know, all the competing priorities in the world of education. And I often hear people say, I don't have time for those types of skills. I'm trying to help kids catch up from academics. So I'm wondering how this all fits in with all those competing priorities.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset shift, right? As we've evolved in education, I think our role and responsibility is much greater and looks a little different today than maybe it did 10, 20 years ago. Because yes, parents send their students to us to teach them the content. That's what we hire teachers to do, right? We have content and standards that we want our kids to know and be able to do when they graduate. However, in collaborating with our community, the workforce, you know, our business and industry partners, we need to do a better job of listening to them and saying, okay, when kids enter the workforce or whatever their pathway is, you know, a four-year college, two-year college, wherever they're desiring to go, what do they need? And so while we might be experts in kids, right, and teaching kids the standards, we also need to become experts in really teaching all of the skills that kids will need as they experience the real world. So yeah, it is just a different way of thinking, but I think it's critical for our teachers to embrace that mindset of that whole child and making sure that all of the decisions that we make and instructional strategies that we use really set them up for success.
Amy, you talked about needing to listen to our community partners and, you know, these businesses that are employing students after they graduate school. So what are you hearing from them? What kinds of skills are they saying that please prepare them and send them to us with being able to do this?
Yeah, so they're saying teach kids how to collaborate. Teach kids the value of teamwork. Teach kids how to ask questions, be curious, how to communicate. And all of those skills are universal, no matter what track you take after high school, right? We do a really good job here in our district of sending kids to four-year colleges. But we need to get really good at making sure that if you don't go to a four-year college, your pathway is still important. We don't want kids to feel less than because they don't go into a four-year school. So we are we're just on the early onset of creating a curriculum review process that we're putting those critical skills that I spoke of at the forefront and making sure they're taught in every course across our system, because we know whether you go to a four-year college, a two-year trade school, straight into the workforce, whatever it might be, you're going to need those skills. So we teach adaptability. We teach, obviously, we have the knowledge skills, right, that we want our kids to have, the content knowledge. We're teaching productivity, what that means to be productive. We talk about communication a lot, collaboration, leadership, problem solving. So those are the skills that I think we want to lead with instead of content standards. They're both important, I think we need to lead with those transfer skills so that, you know, again, we're preparing kids for whatever path they choose.
Saying that, I'm imagining the student experience and how different that must be for them, more focusing on those skills and then the content knowledge layering in on top of those. And I'm wondering if you're seeing different outcomes for students because of that shift in approach.
I would say we are. But I would also say that we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. We have a long way to go. We started here in my school district with just creating courses that teach leadership or teach that focus on collaboration and problem solving. And we separated it. They're called project-based experience courses or leadership courses. And when we first rolled those out, the enrollment was very low. Since then, over the last 6 to 7 years, the enrollment in those courses has almost tripled. And again, kids are acquiring skills. We invite our business partners in. They're doing internships or field experiences or apprenticeships. We're getting them out into the workforce earlier and embedding the content knowledge and the skills at the same time with real-world experiences. And so it has been a shift for kids, and I will tell you, it's not been a great match for every kid. But what I do believe, and again, what our business and industry is telling us, is that this is what they want kids to have. We will teach them the knowledge that they need when they get into the workforce, but we need you to help teach them, give them that foundation of those just employability skills. So because that will set them up for greater success in the end.
You've made me so curious when you said that the enrollment in these courses have tripled. Do you think that the word has gotten out, or what is it that's happening that's increasing the interest in these courses?
Yeah, I think a little bit of is word of mouth, right? It's grown by that. But I also think it's the experience that they have. We have students that desire to go straight into the workforce after high school, and they're already putting on it. Making relationships with businesses, and they'll get, they'll do a job shadow, or they'll get an internship, and then they get hired on the spot. We have companies here locally that are coming to us saying, send us more kids that took that course. We have companies telling us, hey, on your resume, just put that you took these courses in high school, and you'll rise to the top. So I think they see their peers experiencing success. I think they see there's flexibility. It's just a different feel when you're in those classrooms, right? You know, kids are up and moving around. It's flexible. Sometimes you're at the job site. Sometimes you're in a classroom, and it's very interactive, and there's a lot of engagement. And there's a lot of independence with that, but also, you know, you're working with the team. So it's not just going into a classroom, sitting at a desk, listening to a teacher teach, and then moving on, right? So I think that experience in itself is also getting the word out and helping increase that enrollment. But also know that that's our vision for all of our classrooms, right? That shouldn't be a single course that they take to get those skills that we want our kids to have. That should be embedded in every course that our students take. And so that's the work that we're trying to do, is really find a way to embed that throughout our entire system, even as early as elementary school.
I love that. In our podcast episode that we just did previously, Kim and I were discussing what the impact would be if students were learning these types of skills from pre-K all the way up through grade 12, and how prepared they would be and how much they would thrive in the workforce at whatever point they enter it. And so I love that vision that you're setting, because that sounds very in line with what we've been discussing as well.
So I'm curious. So you have this vision for embedding these employability skills into the curriculum. And it made me wonder, as a former teacher, how popular is this idea amongst teachers? Because it feels to me like a paradigm shift. And I know that sometimes shifting our paradigms can be scary.
Absolutely. I think with any type of change, right, there comes emotion. Some teachers are very excited about it, and they're your early innovators, and they want to get going, and we just need to get out of their way. And then, you know, on the other end of the continuum, you have teachers that are resistant and, you know, concerned and, you know, unsure, right? And what am I giving up in order to make this change? But for me, anytime you implement a change, that's synonymous to learning. And we just need to learn. We need to provide support and make sure that we are thoughtful about the implementation of the change, because at the end of the day, we want better outcomes for kids. And so I think as a district, we're united in that. We all want what's best for our students and make sure that we are creating that school experience that unifies us and, again, gives them those skills that they need to be successful and be future ready. But yes, you're going to have resistors. You're going to have teachers that this is not what they went to school for. This is not what they signed up for, right? Because they're very passionate about their content and they're very good at teaching it. And we want to keep the momentum going with that content, but also infuse those, employability skills as well. So it's not one's more important than the other, but I think it's just how you implement the change. It's how you, you know, listen, provide resources, provide support, provide coaching, to help ease any kind of worry in implementing a change.
So Amy, a lot of times when something new like this comes along, we get, as you said, resistance from teachers. And I think one of the concerns is that this is something that they have to do on top of what they're already doing. And how can they make time for these skills when they have this list of content standards they have to cover? And so as you're pioneering this process in your district, I wonder if you have any tips for how to allay those concerns and how to really integrate it tightly so that it doesn't feel like something additional.
Yeah. So I think we lean on these employability skills we're talking about, right? So we start with giving people voice, right? And we're creating teams that represents a diverse population across our school district. Curriculum teams to do the work so that teachers have a voice. It's teacher led. And when we listen, We lean in, we listen, we research, we learn together. So you create a plan, where you're intentional about the plan, you start implementing. But along the way, as you provide support and a continuous learning for teachers, you stop and say, okay, what's going well and why? What's not going well and why? And then you make those mid-course adjustments, right? It's all part of that design thinking process, again, that the workforce uses. And so I think as we lead change, we lean on a lot of these leadership skills that we're talking about. So we model that. We work together. We listen to them. I mean, they're the experts. Our teachers are the experts in this work. We just provide a process and create those systems so that we achieve the goals that we're or our desired outcomes. So I don't think it's any different than just going back to those good relationship skills and allowing the teachers to have voice in as we implement the change.
Amy, I feel like you are speaking directly into the whole overarching theme of this season's podcast series, which is something that we're calling systemic synergy, which is really about optimizing the synergy and systems for everybody within the system so that everybody can benefit from it as much as is possible. So I feel like you saying that is speaking directly into that. So the last question that I have for you, or we have for you, is about your vision for the future, right? In what ways do you see schools evolving over the next 5 to 10 years so that they do meet the demands of this changing, ever-evolving workplace?
Now, that's a big question, right? I don't have all the answers, but here I can tell you, I can speak for our school district, and, you know, we're just one here in the Midwest, but We actually have a project occurring here in our district of creating a new innovative center. We're a growing district, and so we are building a third facility. We have two high schools. We're getting ready to build a third one. But we know we don't want it to be a comprehensive high school. So all these things that I'm speaking of is really what has been the vision of this third school. So we really are trying hard to create an experience for kids that's innovative, that allows for collaboration and curiosity and innovation. And it's a space where business and schools can collide. And so if we really want to, so our vision is if we really want to expose our kids to all the opportunities that are potentially out there for them, then let's invite partners and our community members into a space where really that learning can collide. So we can learn from them, they can learn from us, and let's give kids the chance to explore and build awareness. And in our district, we call it a plan A. Like, we want students by about eighth or ninth grade to have a plan A of where you think you're going to be, so that we can build courses and a course map in order to get you there. But it's okay if you end up with a plan B or a plan C. Those choices are flexible. As you explore and learn more, you might change course. So really, this big picture, our vision here is just to really provide an experience for all of our students that is unique to them, but also meets the demands of the workforce in the next 5 to 10 years. So as we are studying what programs of study to offer in this facility, we're looking at the workforce demands in our local community as well as in the state of Iowa. And then also, like, what jobs are declining? And so just using that data set to help us determine what kind of programs to develop and offer for our students. Now, while that's unique for this one facility, we also want it to be embedded in all of our schools, right? So it doesn't matter where our kids go to school or take a course, that they are getting a rich education around these employability skills while also putting them on a career path that's unique to them. So you all mentioned, like, so start as early as preschool. So our vision is really pre-K-12. Right. So what are the experiences and what are we going to start teaching them? Because a lot of these skills that I've mentioned so far really start in preschool, and preschool does it really well. They lead with these skills and they teach the kids, right, how to get along, how to be kind, how to work together, you know, ask questions, be curious. And then they teach them how to read and write. Right. So we have to keep that same kind of thinking all the way through our system. I mean, it's a big task, but I'm confident that hopefully in the next 5 to 6 years when we open up this new facility, we'll be there as an entire system.
I'm imagining that as you continue to develop your system, you will see outcomes like increased attendance and student engagement and decreased behavior issues, because what you're describing sounds like really authentic and relevant learning experiences. And, you know, I've seen firsthand as a former classroom educator and school and district leadership, just how much that can shift the experience for students, especially our at-risk students, when they feel like what they're doing is really meaningful and they have buy-in into it. It just alleviates and solves so many of the other issues that we're trying to address in pockets. So it sounds very exciting to me what your vision is there.
Yeah, I agree. Anytime you can have student voice and choice, right, in the process or in the work, in the instruction, engagement increases. So, I believe that's been part of our success and hopefully will continue.
Amy, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your expertise and your perspective on future readiness. I really think that our listeners are really going to benefit from hearing what you've shared with us today. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
If there's anyone on the fence that's kind of interested in maybe dabbling in this, can you give them like a first step? What did you do to like get in the water to start this process?
Really, it's just about having an open mind. You know, I had a colleague kind of plant the seed for me. And then, you know, you go out and you learn about it. I went to a conference of some work that had already been happening in Texas. We connected with a group that was already doing the work there. So attending conferences, right? Networking. There's books out there. I'm reading a book on modern learning. So just be curious, right? Ask some questions, network, and see what you can learn and go from there.
That's great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So listeners, there you have it. Make sure to like and subscribe and join us for our next episode of Change Starts Here, Research Conversations.